Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
We come before you and we come to receive from you, sir. So Lord, let us receive. I'm going to have you guys say, let us receive.
Let us receive.
Everything you wish for us to have.
Let me receive
all that you have for me. In Jesus' name. So, Father, we thank you, and we dedicate this time to you, this entire time. This is yours. You call these meetings, and we do not. And so, Father, we know you've called us here, and this is ordained by God. And so we come, and we leave all our junk outside. We just leave it off-site, you know, off the property, to come and sit with you and have you just speak into our hearts whatever you like and whatever you want. And I pray that we will be able to just properly step exactly where we're supposed to. Every word, every sentence, that we won't add to or take away from a single thing that you want to do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. The word heartache. And I saw a person walking away from their heartache. As though you walked away and left it behind, this heartache. You've carried it too long, he says. It's a heaviness of heart, but it's been, you know, sometimes we allow a heartache to kind of take over. And it becomes settled down in us, and then we move on with life, right? Because life happens. And then over time, we just get busy with life and we kind of get busy and move on. And what happens is, in our heart, the thing has not been dealt with. So what he's dealing right now is old stuff. He's dealing with some older stuff, almost like scar tissue of the heart. And I see him gently and lovingly chipping away at this hard scar tissue. You know, sometimes if you feel like, it's not that your love grows cold, but did you ever feel like you don't have as much zeal as you used to have? It's not that you lost your first love, it's that our heart gets hit enough times that it hardens a little bit. It's a normal process. It's called just like a scar. If you get a wound, so what happens is this scarring happens on the heart and it becomes like a callus. A callus on your hands is because you wound your hands, it gets a blister, and it hardens a little. And you wound your hands again, and it hardens a little more. And eventually, if you keep working in the fields, right, you'll develop big, tough calluses that are thick, really, really thick, right? Man hands. But what happens is that happens to the heart. Especially, you know, some of us who've lived a while on planet Earth. You know, everyone sustains stuff. Everyone has families. Everyone has relationships. Everyone has church stuff. You know, there's no one. I don't think I've ever met anyone that is exempt from taking some hits. And we all have different ways of processing it, don't we? Some people react and deal with it right away. Some people stuff it and just pretend it never happened. There's all kinds of ways of dealing with that. But what I'm seeing right now is just some leftovers. And I feel like some of you are secretly nodding your head going, yeah, I know what she's talking about. And you know, when Jesus said to go back to your first love, I've thought a lot about this. And what I think he would like to do is circumcise our hearts anew. This may not apply to everybody, but it does need to happen for those who need it, because until that gets dealt with, it's hard for us to receive more, right? And we all came to receive something. And so I believe that none of us should go home on the last day until we've gotten what we came to get. Amen. But sometimes for us to get that, there's certain things that have to happen in us. We tend to think God can just do it. But you know, if he could just do it, he would have done it a long time ago. I said, if God could just push the button and fix everything. See, we are required to do certain things. Sometimes it's a decision or a choice. Sometimes it's even saying, yeah, I see that now and I will allow you to do the surgery. You know, he will never force you. Did you know that? He doesn't force us. I remember seasons of my life where I would go into what looked like a surgery room, and I would lay down knowing that I could trust him with a knife and knowing that it might hurt, but that he would take some things out that I needed out. And some of you have been tough and strong for too long, okay? Not everybody, but there's some of you that you've held it together for years, you know, and nobody knew because you've held it together. And I know we all have different personality types. And I used to be that I held everything in to the degree I didn't even know it was there. And as Jesus began to open me up and heal that, I began to know a freedom I had never known. And I feel like there's freedom for us this weekend. And sometimes to get to freedom, I'm seeing actually a picture of someone that's in a POW camp. They've been a prisoner of war in Satan's prison camp. That's the picture I'm seeing. And if somebody came and unlocked that door, they would run through the woods to safety. You know, you wouldn't stay there, would you? You know, if you were in Vietnam in those camps and you got free, you had to go hide and escape. You still had to get out of there. And I know this is a strange picture. The picture I'm getting is we need to leave behind some of the things that happened. Some of this, there's one person here, I feel like the Lord is saying 18 years ago, you had a real hard hit, and it was actually a series of hits in your life, and it left its mark on you, and it has been hard for you. You've still been faithful to God. You've done what's right. You've walked straight. You've stayed, you know, you've kept doing what is right, but you sustained some internal injuries. And the problem with that is, you know, I totally understand and have done the thing of you do it because it's right, not because of your feelings. I get that, and I did it for many years, and that's a good thing. But when you come alone with the Savior, when you come away like this, sometimes He wants to say, do you think we could open that up now? Do you think that you would have the courage to get on the operating table? Or let me gently open you up and take out those things, because whether you know it or not, that is hurting your life. Sometimes wounds that you've forgotten you had because you've dealt with it, you know, you've been the strong one, or the I'm not going to show anybody, or nobody needs to know this, or I'm in faith, hallelujah. Sometimes that thing that we keep in our heart, it's doing internal damage, right? And so Jesus does, He wants you whole. He wants you free. Not just free by faith, but really manifested free. Freedom, when the day you get free, you know you're free. Because you have joy that surpasses, you can't even describe it or explain it. You have a peace in you that never leaves. It doesn't come and go. You know, it doesn't come and go. It's with you always. When you're free, you don't have to walk around in fear or worry or fretting. I feel like God is saying He wants us free. And so as we walk that path to freedom, there will be some things. I see people hanging up their junk on a fence, you know, as they walk, saying, you know what, I'm not carrying that anymore. And I don't think I need that anymore. And I don't think I want to carry that anymore. You know, it'd be like if you had to move from your house, but you had to go on foot to the next place, and you tried to take all, you know, all your stuff, well, you'd find that you couldn't, right? And I'm seeing pictures of people going down the road and you know, saying, you know what, I think this is too much to take to where I'm going in God. Because in God, you already have everything you need. You don't need your earthly stuff. You don't need your emotional stuff that you've carried. You know, some of our stuff has to do with being safe. We keep ourselves safe, so we have a mask, right? We keep ourselves safe because we don't want to be hurt, or we have been hurt, so we don't let everybody in, right? And that's okay. That's not sin. Jesus didn't let everybody in either. That's okay. But when it comes to Jesus, we let Him wholly in. We let Him fully in. When He taught me how to process emotions, I had come from a background where I was absolutely clueless that I even had them because I'd stuffed them. And so He began to teach me how to do emotions. And one of the things He taught me was that emotions are a gift from God. They're not evil. They're actually a gift. It's okay to have them, but we need to learn how to have them in a holy way. It's okay to have feelings, But it's great if you can process them with Jesus right away so you don't hurt people. You know, if you keep that stuff inside, it will manifest when you don't want it to. Right? If you have a hidden anger, you can mask it. We can mask stuff. But what can happen is some little thing will irritate you and you'll react much bigger than it merits. Do you ever have that happen? You react bigger than the situation warrants and you think, why did I react that way? Well, it's because there's stuff in there. Okay? And this is normal. This is fairly normal on planet Earth. People do this all the time. And Jesus is just saying, he's saying with love, I'd like to clean your closet a little bit. And, you know, when I come to these things, I often have no idea what he will address. So our goal is to do just exactly what he wants, no more and no less. So if you say, well, I didn't come for this. Well, you're here now. And neither you nor I get to pick what he wants to talk to us about. But the great news about him, one thing I have found about him is he is a surgeon that knows exactly what he's doing. He never damages a patient. And he never does more than we can handle. And he never, ever exposes us to the enemy or to people or to their... You know, Jesus is very gentle. And when he's doing surgery, you know, I've learned to actually love that place. I don't wait. When I have an issue, I go straight in. Jesus, I've got a problem. I'm reacting the wrong way. I can see that there's something not right in the way I'm reacting to what that person did. And I know the problem isn't them, because the problem is never them, is it? It's not what people do to us. That's not what we're responsible for, but we are responsible for our reaction, our response. Listen, Jesus had terrible things done to him and said to him. But because he was whole and free and pure and full of truth, he responded 100% right 100% of the time. And the more free we get, the more freely we will be able to respond like Jesus did. Do you know that the Bible said he had joy above all his fellows? He had more joy than anybody, and he knew he was going to be tortured and murdered. Now, most of us would not be joyful about that prospect. But he knew it. He already knew. He knew he said, no one takes my life from me, but I'm laying it down and I'll take it up again. And yet he had joy above all his friends, above everyone he knew, he had more joy. So God is telling us something, that there is a heavenly way to walk in freedom and in heaven's joy all the time, and it doesn't really matter what's going on in the earth. Isn't that interesting? So it doesn't matter if people love you or hate you or pick up rocks to throw at you or lie to you or cheat on you or what they do. But if you don't know this, if you don't get free, you will forever be responding and reacting to every little thing around you. And I can only say this because that used to be me. I was owned by my circumstances. I loved God with all my heart, but I was emotionally owned by all the junk that the devil threw at me, and the devil knew it. So he just kept throwing stuff at me, and I was under it instead of on top of it. And I had to spend a lot of time with God to learn how to get free, how to really get free, so that it doesn't matter. The devil can dance as hard as he wants. That's not my problem. Jesus said, the prince of this world is coming. He has nothing in me. Can't do a thing to me. That's what Jesus said. He can't do a thing. He can't even take my life from me. I'm doing that. Basically, that's what he was saying. Jesus was never moved by anything they did or said, loved him, hated him, tried to make him king the wrong way. You know, they pulled all kinds of stuff on him, and I just love the fact that he was unmoved. And that is, some of you actually have a false belief system that that's not achievable or attainable. It's not true. It is. In fact, I'll go so far as to say he's called us to it, and it is not his will for us to wallow in emotional junk. It's not His will for us to stay the victim or the one always lamenting how bad life has gone. All of us have had terrible hits. Some of us have stories that stand your hair on end. They're so bad. It's the truth. But we don't have to continue to respond to something that happened 18 years ago or 5 years ago or 20 years ago. There's people in here that have had terrible things happen to them. But Jesus wants to make it so that your soul, your mind, your spirit is so free that it can't touch you. That you can walk as heaven's emissary. And not only be whole and truly laugh out of a heart full of peace and joy, but deliver peace and joy to all who come near you. Helping people to see straight instead of seeing crooked. You know, John the Baptist said, make straight paths. And I've pondered that scripture for years. And the only thing I can ever come up with that means is make straight paths in the way that you think, the way you process life, the way your neural pathways go, the way that you process. You know, it doesn't just mean don't sin anymore, because how are you not going to sin anymore? The only way to stop sinning in a certain area is to get free from the thing that causes that. Come on. I think there's a lie in the church that if a person just has a problem with lust, well, that's just their makeup and they'll just always be that way. And so they just continually do this cycle of blow it, ask forgiveness, hopefully receive forgiveness, blow it again. And that's the cycle they're forever caught in. But I want to tell you something. Jesus can deliver. Jesus can heal to the uttermost, to the place where you don't even know what it was like before. I remember in February of 1989, I said to God, I can't stand the way I am. Because I was owned by my emotions. I was flung from one side of the room to the other, constantly owned by my emotions based on horrendous circumstances. And I said, this is not okay. This is not what Christianity is supposed to be. I don't know what it is, but it ain't this. This is not it. And I went to God and I said, I can't stand the way I am. I said, I want you to change me. I don't care what it takes. I said, I want to be so different that I won't remember what it was like to be me before. And God began to do a work of very deep healing. And you know what He does sometimes? See, God will never override your will. So sometimes we hold something, we hold on to something, not even knowing we're kind of gripping it, right? Sometimes we hold on to pain as our old friend. Remember that song, Hello Darkness, My Old Friend? I've come to talk with you again. Some people find comfort in how bad it is. And some people find comfort in being the victim. And I'm not condemning anybody. I was the most disgusting, worst case you ever saw. Pathetic. But I didn't know how to do life. I didn't know how to do life in Jesus. I just knew that what I was doing wasn't working, and I was miserable. That's what I knew. But God took me on a journey, and it was an amazing journey of being honest enough with Him and with myself to say, you know what, I do have a problem with that. I do have a problem, Lord. What is that? What caused that? Why am I like that? Because we are the way we are for a reason. Did you ever notice you could have three houses in a row and one person might never ever be tempted to alcohol in house number one, but they have a problem with porn. The person in the next house might never be tempted with that, but they have a problem with prescription drugs. And the person in the next house might not have either of those problems, but has fear. Why is that? There's a reason. There's a reason we are the way we are, and there's a reason we react and respond the way we do, and there's a reason we have strong holds. God isn't saying this to make anybody feel bad. He's saying this because he's just about to set us free. He's just about to loose us from some of this stuff so it can't, the weights that so easily beset us. If we have a problem, generally speaking, there's a reason. And God wants us to really be honest and say, you know what, I'm ready, Lord. See, if you don't ever even come to him, say, I went to him and said, I'll do whatever it takes, change me, I'm disgusting, I don't even like myself, this is terrible. And it wasn't one problem, I had a whole bunch of them. I was a mess. And I wanted to be changed. You know what? Some people are so afraid because they've been beat up their whole life by words. You know, you may not have been physically beat up, but a lot of times people are beat all their life by words, and so they have to make it seem as though I'm okay, I'm good, everything's fine, leave me alone, don't try to correct me, I'm good, shut up. And that's a safety, isn't it? It's a mask. It's a self-protection. It's survival for some people. And I get that. And you don't have to put your trust in people. Jesus didn't. The scriptures say that he did not entrust himself to any man because he knew what was in the heart of man. So God isn't asking you to just trust humans openly yet. But he is saying that he is 100% trustworthy. And that when you come to him, it is okay. In fact, he already knows every... He knows me. He knows every issue I have. He knows all the ones he set me free from, and he knows there's still some I'm working on. I'm still talking to him about a couple, but I still have some issues. I'm working, get that out of there. And I'm going to keep bugging him until I root it out. I want it out. If I don't press in to be made like Jesus, how can I flow in the Spirit properly? When I was in my 20s, she showed me a picture of a pipe that was just full of junk, mud and rust and stuff. And he was trying to flow through this pipe, but there was just stuff. But the more that he cleansed the pipe, right, the more stuff he removes, the more free that flow. That flow can just surge from heaven, right? Why is it that some people can carry the presence so easily? Why is it that some people can flow more freely and easily and more consistently, constantly? Why? Well, generally speaking, they've spent a lot of years cleaning the pipe, right? Because that's what you are, whether you know it or not. You're not just a person that was put on earth to have a good time, have a nice house, have a career, husband, kids. That may have been your goal or your dream or whatever, but really, we are here first and foremost to fellowship with him, to be his daughter, to be his bride. You know, Adam wasn't put here to win souls because there was no souls to win. He was created for fellowship first and foremost. Your first foremost purpose is to minister to him, to love him, to hang out with him. Not to perform for him, but just to enjoy him. And let him enjoy you. It's just a relationship. But once you get that and you begin to work through cleaning some of the pipe out, you know, there's some when I'm talking to in here and God's showing me you have issues with your thoughts. Your thoughts cycle and circle, and it's like I'm seeing like some confusion, and it's even hard for you to hear truth because there's been so much confusion, and I saw the Lord just touching you. You know, God can heal our mind. God can heal our thoughts. God can help us make straight paths. But what speeds up the process is for us to ask. And sometimes we are because we were taught to be, especially if we were kind of beat up verbally, we are afraid to admit even to God that we need some change. And yet deep down, if you're truly born again with everything in you, you want to be like Jesus. When people really get born again, their flesh may want something else, but deep down their spirit man wants all that he has, all that he is. And so what I feel like he's saying is, will you give me permission, not Holly, but will you give him permission to meddle in your affairs, so to speak, to gently and lovingly perform a little surgery and remove some of the things that have hurt you. I saw something that looked like a thorn inside somebody, and this is a parable, of course, but every time you would move a certain way, it would jab an old wound. But wouldn't it be better if Jesus was able to remove that thorn once and for all, right? That's what a wound does. And a person with a wounded soul, a person with a wound in them, Satan won't try 50 other things because all he needs is that one. If he knows you have a wound, all he has to do is keep poking at that one wound. He doesn't have to get you to go commit adultery. All he has to do is gouge that wound. So he'll have people, he'll try to get people who are the closest to you or someone you work with or someone you respect or even someone in the church or a leader to say something that they don't even probably understand what they're saying, but that will try to gouge that wound. That's what he tries to do because you're going to react. And when you have a wound like that, Satan can get a hold of you. I'm actually seeing while I'm talking, God is actually pouring. I've not seen it this way before, but I actually see him pouring the blood upon wounds of the heart and wounds of the soul. I see brokenness, almost like a deep brokenness being healed in someone. You know, when you're broken really deep, sometimes you don't even fully understand the extent of it. My whole life was broken so badly, I actually almost died. But it started in the emotions. But it got so bad for so long that I became very ill physically, because emotions gone wrong and stored up become toxic. Toxic in such a manner that some people can get sick physically. Now, not every illness is caused by this, so don't misunderstand me. Some illnesses are just an attack from the devil. Some are just physical things that happen, okay? But I want to give you a couple of examples. One is when I was doing a prayer line. We had a large conference in Rockford one year, and the very first person in the line was a lady that had fibromyalgia. And she had pain throughout her whole body all the time, just a lot of pain all the time. She was asking me to pray for fibromyalgia, but when I looked at her, I saw a bullet, a big, giant bullet lodged in her heart, and I knew she had taken a real serious wound that God saw. You know, he was a bullet, you know, you probably speak parable, but that's a big wound. It almost killed her. I didn't pray for fibromyalgia, but I did touch her shoulder and just ask the Lord to remove that and heal her heart. She fell down, and I kept going. I had this long line, and about 40 minutes later, she came and found me, and she said, "All pain has left my body." I talked to her some months later. She was 100% healed. So that, I'm not saying this is always the case with fibromyalgia, but in that case, it was emotionally based from a wound that was too much for her to take. And she didn't know how to process it. She didn't know how to be healed from it. And because of that, it was toxic and it was hurting her body. Can you see that? Bitterness dries the bones, the Bible says. There's all kinds of relation to how we deal with life. And it's okay to ask God for healing, and we love divine healing. We see people healed. I love that. But sometimes we need to dig a little bit under the covers. We need to look at what's going on, what's really happening there. Sometimes your reactions to things are a gauge. And again, there's no condemnation. God is never pointing stuff out to say, "You dirty dog." He already knows. He knows what we're made of. He remembers our frame, that we are dust. If your name isn't Jesus of Nazareth and mine isn't Jesus of Nazareth, that means by the nature of our flesh, we were born after Adam. Our flesh, in our flesh dwells no good things. So we're going to have stuff. okay? In the flesh, you know, in the flesh, you're going to have stuff. You're going to have emotions. You're going to have things you don't process right unless you've had a perfect life, and I don't know anyone who has. So God is not condemning you, but He is saying, come up higher, and you're saying, I can't. Come up higher, I can't. Some people say, I can't hear God. Yeah, you can, actually. But the problem is there may be so much going on in your flesh, your soulish area, that you can't get to the Spirit. Okay, am I making any sense? So God is trying to help us come to a place where we are able to say with Jesus, the prince of this world is coming. He has nothing in me. He has no strong hold in my soul. He's got no hook in my soul. Jesus had not one lie. He was truth. Jesus is truth. So He had not one false belief system, not one deception. So Satan had a hard time. He couldn't hook onto Jesus. He couldn't latch onto Him and get Him, you know. Jesus' own family came against Him. You know, some people, that would be really a bad thing. Jesus was completely unmoved by it. You can look it up in Mark 3. He was completely unmoved by it. And the reason was He was whole on the inside. And wholeness looks like this. This is what wholeness looks like. I already get that some people won't like me. I'm here to do a job for my Father. That's what I'm about. I know who I am and what I'm here to do. And some people will like it and some people won't. And that is not my problem. And I can still die for them. Come on. I can still help them, even though they're demon-possessed and yelling and cussing at me. That's why He was able to say, bless those who curse you. Bless and do not curse. Pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you. How about that? He was actually able to do it while they're driving, while they are driving the stakes into Him. They're in the process of murdering Him in the most brutal way, and He's able to say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Now remember, Jesus could see in the Spirit. I'm pretty well persuaded that He saw the demonic forces and the angelic forces. And He saw people with strongholds that were driving them to hatred, right? But he already knew the whole story. So He's so whole that He's not moved. Can you imagine that? Not moved. So when you're that whole, you're aware that stuff in the earth happens. Meanness sometimes does prevail. Sometimes people are just flat mean. If you don't believe it, watch the news. They're mean, mean people. Saying mean things. Doing mean, terrible stuff. I can't even watch it. It's so gross. That's the world we live in, but we don't have to partake. We don't have to take it personally. We can come to a place of wholeness where we no longer respond. And I don't mean we pretend not to respond. That's a different matter, okay? That's called stuffing your emotions. But I mean where we truly don't have to respond. I don't know why we're here, but we're here. So I want to give you just a living example of what that means. After Jesus taught me about this, I knew what He was saying to me. He had called me into ministry. And by the very nature of it, He said, if they did it to the master, they will do it to the pupils. I knew He was saying to me, Holly, as a minister, there will be people who love you, people who hate you, people who say mean things, people who change their mind from one to another. And do you get that that's part of the package? And I said, yes, sir, I get it. And so, what do you think that does for me when somebody doesn't like me? It's not my problem. Because I already accepted the package. We live in the earth. Is anybody here? We live in an earth where some people aren't going to do what we think they should. They're not going to behave in a manner that we think is right. Fact. And if that throws you for a loop, you will always be thrown. If it throws you for a loop when people don't behave properly, listen, the days are getting worse and worse. I can remember I used to be shocked when people didn't have common manners. Now it's like, we're way past that, you know. We're way past that. And God began to deal with, you know, it pays to ask God, what's going on really? why did I react so bad to that, you know? Why did that little thing make me react? Why did I have sudden anger or sudden fear? Or why did I have this weird behavior that I'm now thinking, why did I say that stupid thing they just said, you know? Come on, am I the only one in the room that ever says the wrong thing? Well, so for me, those are little red flags. Something's going on the inside, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? And sometimes when I react a certain way, I noticed a couple weeks ago there was something really bugging me. Really bugging me. And I don't usually get bugged anymore because I'm pretty free. And I said, Lord, why is that bothering me? And he said, well, you need to deal. You have a false expectation. And I'll just tell you what it was. For whatever reason, a lot of times people will say they're going to do something, and they don't do it. And it's really, really common in the body. I could write a book on how common it is. And I had the false expectation that when someone said they're going to do something, that they actually will. And so I was setting myself up to be disappointed or angry when they didn't keep their word. But guess what? There have probably been times when I didn't follow up. Right? There might have been times when I said I was going to do something and I didn't do it. So I had to go back and say, you know what, I repent in the name of Jesus. And I don't just repent, but Lord, I'm making a proclamation. Because see, a false expectation will kill you. If you expect people to behave in a manner that is in keeping with your behavior, isn't that what we do? We expect people to have the same manners we have. They don't. We expect people to have the same culture we have. They don't. We expect people to respond the way we would. They don't. And so what we do is we place expectations and even demands on people that they're never going to be able to meet because they don't even know those rules. Some people in this room, I'm going to be gentle, you have expectations of your family members that are not realistic. They may be good, and they may even be right that it should be that way, but guess what? I love you, but it isn't. It isn't the way it is. People don't have the same culture and the same mores, even if they're in the same family. I will tell you, almost every family has one weird person. Yeah, I'm telling you. I think everybody's family has one. We've got a couple. We got a couple of doozies, you know. And people are always getting upset with their behavior, but I finally reached a place where I was able to say, you know, for me to expect them to do any different is ridiculous. That would be ridiculous for me to expect that person to be able to do any better than they're doing. They're not free. They're not delivered. They don't even know how. Here, let me send you some CDs. No, just kidding. And for us to expect, especially a certain type of treatment, I'm talking to somebody. And you go to I got a family event coming up on Saturday, and I will tell you the truth, I'm not really looking forward to it in some ways. Because one of the people there has had a lot of judgment because they don't like Christianity, so there's always got a lot to say about that. Oh, God bless them. And I'm praying earnestly for their salvation. I'm praying earnestly that they will encounter Jesus. And in the meantime, you know, I just have to deal with it. But I cannot expect them to behave in a way that we might behave in this room. And so, because here's the thing with a false expectation. You're setting yourself up to be hurt and disappointed and even mad. And you may even have a pattern that every time you deal with people or, you know, somebody at the job or family stuff, you're hurt over and over again every single time because you always think somehow this time it'll be different. And I hate to say this, but unless there's a significant deliverance on their part, it's probably not going to happen. And so there's the way that Jesus changed his actions. He knew what, he says he knew what was in man. He didn't trust himself to anybody because he knew what was in the heart of man.
They will kill me. They're going to have a hammer and they're going to have spikes and they're going to kill me. He read about it. Listen, he read the scriptures about what they were going to do to him. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? He's the Son of God, and in his parents, they only knew so much. They knew that he was called. They knew he was the Messiah, but they didn't. No one really knew. See, people thought the Messiah was going to free them from the terrors of Rome. Rome was horrible, horrible, brutal, brutal, brutal people. Herod was one of the most brutal people imaginable. And so people thought the Messiah, when he comes, he's going to free us. Nope. Here's Jesus, now, so no one could tell him. He's reading, can imagine. He's reading Isaiah saying, oh, all right, I get it. I'm not going to free them from Roman rule. They're going to torture me. They're going to beat me to a pulp until I'm not recognizable even as a human. It won't just be who was that, it'll be what was that. That's how bad he was beaten. Unrecognizable. Imagine reading, oh, that's my end? Oh, yay. So he understood what he was in for. And he understood that he was doing it for the Father, to purchase for the Father a people who might even say no. That he would take this to give every human on the earth the opportunity to say, no, I don't want God. But what if somebody would say yes? He said, yeah, Father, it's tough, it's brutal, but I will die for that. I'll take that. I'll do that assignment. He was the only one that could, and he knew it. He was the only one that could, and he knew it. So can I say to you, for us to expect to walk through life and be treated well and everybody to make nice and treat us with respect is absolute false belief system. It's a false expectation. Now, God will give us favor. God has given us enormous favor, and there's days of great favor, and that's awesome. But that may not always be. And if we aren't prepared, see, Jesus was able to walk through it unmoved. Because he got it, he understood. So he didn't expect. Now, there were people who also, I love this, there were people who came alongside him and helped him in his ministry. Women, by the way, were the financial supporters of his ministry. Did you know that? Primarily women. How awesome is that? And there were people who welcomed him and loved him and worshipped him and got it, but there were a lot who didn't. And he responded to both. I mean, he just responded by, I'm here to do my Father's will. And so we have to change the way we look at life. You are going through this life. You got so many years. And you're going to be here to do something with God and in God and let him do some things through you. And people will react all kinds of ways. Your family will react all kinds of ways. Your spouse might react all kinds of ways. Your kids, the people you work with, people will react all kinds of ways. That's not your problem. Your problem is to do what God has put you here to do, whatever that is, to find it and do it with all your heart. Because in a way, we get to do part of what Jesus did. We actually get, when somebody drives a spike in our hand, when somebody sticks us with a sword, that is when we most get to choose to walk like Christ or not. That is the most spiritual you'll ever be. I don't care if you raise 15 people from the dead, that's not when you're spiritual. When you're spiritual is when somebody really has done you dirty. And especially for an extended period of time, and you choose to do what is best for them because you're doing it for the Father. Even knowing that sometimes they will never fully receive it. But that's okay, because you're coming in line with the cross, and therefore you're coming in line with the resurrection and the power of the resurrection. We want resurrection power, don't we? We like that. We love that. But the only way to walk in resurrection power is to come in line with the cross. He said, if any man would follow me, let him deny himself, pick up his cross, and follow me. That's a lifestyle. That's a lifestyle. So there will be times when you don't feel like helping somebody, but you do it because it's the right thing. You do it because you're doing it for the Father. There will be times when people really might do you wrong, even in the church. But you know what? It's easy to take on a wound. It's easy to take on an offense and go away in a huff and talk bad. That's easy. But what's not easy, but what's right, is to say, well, Jesus did this, so I'm going to do it too. Jesus, give me the grace to keep my heart pure and to accept that the world is going to act like the world. And when they first come into the church, they're still going to act like the world, you know. Until they spend some time getting free, people are going to act like people. And we need to give people the grace and the time to grow. People don't have, you know, I used to have this false belief system that everybody in the church just loved Jesus with all their heart. And I was so shocked when I met up with some people who just really didn't love Jesus with all their heart and really were in it for themselves. That was so shocking to me. I couldn't understand it. False belief system, false expectation, right? It was totally unrealistic. I'm expecting certain behavior on the part of Christians, right? Now they don't do it, so now, oh, I'm hurt, I'm offended, I'm mad, I don't want to deal with that person anymore. You see the problem? That's the problem. The problem is we've begun to, I didn't know we were going here, but here we are, right? We've begun to expect certain behaviors from people, the church, and leaders, and it's so shocking when it doesn't work out that way. But we need to come to a place where we're just not moved by anything. Because our desire is to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Right? You know, we have seen in the past few years, we've seen terrible things going on in the body of Christ. Leaders doing things, terrible, terrible, unspeakable, unspeakable things. Not once, but for years on end. And we say, wait, I didn't know this guy, but there was a man who for years held these wonderful revival meetings. I didn't know the guy, and I'd never actually heard of him. And everybody just said, oh, he was just like the nicest guy imaginable. He just got put in jail for all these counts of child abuse. Now, while he's, so years of it, so think of all the years that he's doing these meetings, my mind can't, I can't even comprehend it. I'm like, how does that work? How do we handle that? How do we stay in the will of God? How do we walk rightly before God in that? Because first of all, if you're like me, you know, there's, especially if it's someone that I knew of, there's a sense of betrayal. Like, you were doing what? You know, there may be, you know, all kinds of things can go on. But if we're steadfast and immovable, part of that is being aware that things happen.